D-H-Z, go! I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real. D-H-Z, know what's popping in the field.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Thursday night, it's the BS and Beer podcast. Me and Tomas here going to give you some Saints news. We got some hotline stuff going on.
Yep.
We're going to do a game preview, a little NFC South news, and don't forget to pick them.
You pick them.
How you doing today, Tomas?
I'm doing all right, my brother. How about you?
It's another beautiful day. It's been a good week.
Yep.
Cold. You know what?
The temperature plummeted, didn't it?
Uncharacteristic bad weather. Mm-hmm. I don't know if uncharacteristic.
We're supposed to warm up again by the weekend.
Yeah.
We're back up into the high 50s again.
Yeah, I'll be looking forward to that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Saints, you know, one of the things that I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, what's that?
Was Stephon Anthony. We didn't talk about him on Monday.
Yes.
So, you know, he got in the game, he played, he started. I say he got in the game, he started.
Oh, yeah, he played a lot.
I didn't notice anything particularly strong about it. There was one play that was illustrated by the announcers of the game.
Yeah, people calling him
where he was in zone coverage and they mm-hmm. showed how everything is underneath and you know, it looked like he might have had that coverage. But let's be real before we criticize too much. We don't know where he was supposed to be.
But I would say to you, he didn't look lost.
No,
and Sean Payton came out and said that he played really well. So if Payton said he played well, Dennis Allen didn't jump on him saying he played badly. So I would have to think that he played well enough.
Okay.
How about that?
How about well enough, and this is what I don't want to hear, so I'm going to put words in your mouth. How about well enough to think that he might be ready to take the next step next year? Maybe it was a step back for him in his second year. But maybe, you know, late bloomer, maybe he's a guy that needed more seasoning, more development. Because in my opinion, based on what I saw in his rookie year, he's definitely someone who can play the run. He's athletic. He's sideline to sideline. He just gets lost in the passing game a lot. And I'm hoping, because, I mean, it would be a huge get for us to be able to have – or maybe it's a better way to look at it, or my way of looking at it, is not to have a first-round draft pick that's just a complete bust.
I don't think it's a complete bust, but I think
What is he?
Well, this is what I'm going to say. Based on what I've seen, I don't think he's a complete bust. But different – and, you know, we've talked about this before in the past. Different defensive coordinators look for different kinds of players.
I agree with that.
Okay? And so think about what's happened to the Saints. After Greg Williams, how many defensive coordinators have we had? And so we've had players that have come in that seem to fit defensive coordinator A, who then leaves. Now we have defensive coordinator B. Now those players don't match his scheme.
Right.
All right, now we get some more players to match B. B leaves. Now we have C. Well, now they don't match his scheme. So I think a lot of it just may be that Stephon Anthony, from what I saw, and, you know, again, I don't have a degree in football, but from what I saw, I think they just let the boy play. I think Rob Ryan just said, you know what, son? You got the middle of the field. Just play. Just run sideline to sideline. You got this speed, you know? And that's why he let in tackles.
Right.
He let in tackles because they already got past him. And they had to catch up with him.
Well,
you know,
I mean,
or he had to take an angle to cut him off.
Made a lot of good plays. He made plays in the backfield. But I'm not that I know this, but what I'm saying is I can agree with you that maybe, especially knowing what we all know about Rob Ryan, it's a very free, you know, I don't, for lack of a better description, a defense that wasn't very disciplined.
Right.
So
right,
it's like, hey, it might be, look, and I've seen these in high school football, and I'm not trying to compare his defense to high school, but in high school, where they say basically you funnel, they put their best player in the middle of the field, yep. and everybody just funnels it to that guy. And that might have been why he had so many tackles and did so many things. And maybe this is an example of how when you go to a more disciplined defense, he just okay, all this I'm saying is maybe, and all I'm doing right now is I'm listening to what you're saying, I'm speculating as a Saints fan to how can this translate into him being a player next year.
Okay, so I think that there are a couple of things. So perhaps Rob Ryan just had him playing instead of making defensive calls. And so I know, looking at at last year's videos, that lots of times we needed to shift and we didn't. Basically, this is where we set up at, and there was nothing else.
Right.
Now we got Laurinaitis at the beginning of the season, and what you saw was the offense would come to the line, Laurinaitis calls something out, they shift. Then the quarterback stands up to audible something else, then the defense shifts again. Well, you didn't have that at all when you had Stephon Anthony as a defensive play call. So to me, I think that was a huge reason why they got Laurinaitis, was because they needed somebody who could make those calls. And I think they were hoping, okay, Stephon, this year we're not going to play you much, but we want you to listen in. We want you to listen in to the calls that Laurinaitis makes, so that you can see how he's calling. And I think that Allen's defensive playbook is much more complicated than Rob Ryan's was. And so I think that all came together. Now, you know, as I said to you, from what I saw in the game yesterday, there were calls being made, there were shifts happening, and he was playing middle. So he's playing the mic and he's making the calls. So, okay, that's a step in a positive direction. And from what I could see, he didn't get blown out, he didn't get burnt up. So, and Sean said he had a fairly good game. So I think it's all a positive step forward. And, okay, he should be playing the rest of the season. Robertson should be sitting out, at least, you know, if he's in any kind of way injured, because we're going to need him again next year.
Well, and I feel like I say this every year. Now is the time where you have to find out if
you got a player or you don't.
Yeah. Is this guy going to be on the team?
Because I'm going to tell you, we're going to draft a linebacker anyway. First round.
Either that or we're going to sign one.
We're drafting either.
As much as I love Ellerbe, when he's on the field, you cannot possibly go into the season saying, oh, yeah, he's going
to
be fine.
We have to draft based on how the NFL is set up. Okay, and I think we've learned our lesson. You can't go out there and blow the cap. The way NFL teams are made at this point. I mean, look at the ones that are winning. You know, Tampa Bay is winning. How many rookie contracts has Tampa Bay had? A bunch.
Well, you know,
Seattle was winning.
I was having this conversation
with Heath. When San Francisco was winning. You know, they all have those.
Something in common. And I made this argument. I probably made on the show earlier in the offseason, but I was talking to Heath on Sunday. And I said, man, the one thing that in common these good teams have, like Seattle, is all these great players on their rookie deals, on their first deals, and a quarterback who hasn't gotten that big payday yet. Yeah. Now, even Seattle, I think, am I wrong? They got the brakes beat off of them on Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're a bad team, but they're not the team they used to be
because
they had to pay guys. So that means they had to let some guys go.
And listen, they did the same. They had the same thing happen on their defense that happened on ours. They lost their safety.
Oh, yeah.
We lost ours. Big change in the defense. I don't care how much Sherman comes out there and says, oh, next guy up. The next guy up and in the same league.
Yeah, that whole next guy up, and I mean, I know it has to be that way, but to me, anybody who says it so nonchalantly, next guy up. Guy is not going to be.
Right, and it can't be because of the way that the money is set up. The way that the money is set up, you got, of your 11 starters on defense, you got 5 guys who are eating up the money. Your 11 starters on offense, you got 5 guys eating up the money.
Sure.
So you got 10 guys out of 50 eating up the money. The other 40 guys, journeymen,
young rookies.
Which is why I think that what the Saints have to do is look. There are three positions we have to fill: linebacker, defensive end, guard.
I thought you said two. Your math
three
for a guy
I
with
said three.
No, you said two. Don't make me remind it. For a guy with all those degrees,
you
have
to rewind. I said three. I started out with two, and then I said no. It's really three.
Okay, all right.
Okay, because those three positions are our weaknesses.
I agree.
But if we go out and find the best linebacker money can buy. Well, now we're eating up that cap again. We don't need to do that. We need to stay calm. Mm-hmm. We've got, I don't know if I pulled it up.
We definitely don't want to overspend.
Yeah, we got 3 exclusive rights free agents, Snead, Lutz, and Lampman. We have 4 restricted free agents coming up. Webb, Banjo, Edebali, and Coleman. We have 18 unrestricted free agents. Fairley, Kruger, Harper, Maudy, Evans, Lolito, Kuhn, Tapp, Samford, Drescher, Hightower, Wilson, Hills, Moore, Cadet, Keogh, Phillips, Barrington. That's a lot of players that need contracts. Okay, well, we're not going to keep all of those, obviously, you know. But you can't, in my opinion, you can't make the same mistakes that we've made before. Fairley is worth keeping. Fairley, to me, is a guy you're going to work out a contract and keep him.
Sure.
Okay. But we need to be very careful about who we pick up. So, to me, the place to pick up might be offensive guard. Maybe.
Right.
Okay. Well, and you gotta because usually the contract there is not going to kill you like a contract for
right.
a linebacker.
Right. And, okay. and for other specialized players, wide receivers, cornerbacks, because here's one of the positions you left out. I was the one who's beating this drum, and now I'm going to – I wouldn't be surprised if cornerback wasn't on that list.
No, I don't think so.
And I know we have all these guys, P.J. Williams and Swan and Bro and
he's still my boy. I'm not giving up on Crawley.
But I wouldn't be surprised – especially the way that Bro has played since he's come back from injury. And it could be that he was still injured. Maybe he wasn't 100%. Maybe he was physically 100%, but not 100% mentally.
Yep.
Whatever it was, he was not the same player that I recall.
Yep.
Or maybe, like fans do, a guy goes from being a seven.
No,
all of a sudden in offseason, you just build him up in your head to be better than
because
they were.
Because he started the season, he was shut down at the beginning of the season. He was definitely shut down. There's no doubt about it. But then he got injured, and to me, I think it's a double kind of thing. It was a serious injury, and even if it's 100% healed according to the doctors, maybe he doesn't think it's 100%
healed. Right. If he's not confident
in
that.
And because the cornerback has to be able to make those sharp cuts, maybe he's thinking, hey, I'm one sharp cut away from blowing it again.
Right.
And
that's partially understandable, but I would still say you nailed all the positions. We need to upgrade the offensive line. We need to get a linebacker in there that, you know, and I could go a little bit more depth. We need a defensive end on the side, on the
now,
right side.
If Guachum spends the offseason building himself up that he can stop that corner.
Right.
And Kikaha the same thing. Now, I still have a lot of belief in Kikaha.
I feel you.
You know, because he's just got so much talent, you know, and I think that if you think about last year when he was playing, even injured. They're wrapping him around his neck to stop him from going. How many times were you yelling that, man, I can't not call that
right.
when it's so blatant as being horse collar?
I guess what I'm saying is this. I'm not looking to cut the guy, but I'm not looking to go into the season with the expectation. I would rather go in the season with a guy that we drafted or signed and Kikaha is the backup and say, man, we deep at defensive end, than go into a season saying, well, we better hope Kakaha's ready to go. So that's my logic.
I hear you.
So it's nothing against Kikaha so much as it's I'm not willing, just like Ellerby, I'm not willing to go in the season saying, oh, yeah, man, we got us a real player there when he is proven over and over. And Kikaha, you know, it's a lot of injuries in his history.
Let me give you this. We've banked on Kruger almost the entire season.
Out of necessity.
Now, okay, but now let's say we start the season and we have a healthy Kikaha, a healthy Guachum, and a healthy Edebali.
I'm not doing it. That's what we went in the season this year, and look what we ended up with.
Well,
we ended up with Kruger,
and I
understand that. But what I'm saying is, last year we went into the season. Now I look at again Ellerby, and Kikaha, both have injury histories that have snuck up on us and bit us. So I would rather go into it saying, man, our depth is great, than saying, boy, we better hope and keep our fingers crossed that Ellerby stays healthy and Kikaha stays healthy. Because they're both very good players, and they're both.
Well, then we better do an outstanding job on the draft. Because I'm telling you, the way to build a championship team in today's modern NFL is rookie contract.
No, I completely agree with that.
You know, you got to build on this year.
You still have to spend the money.
Yeah.
But now, you just don't want to get caught in a situation where you're overspending. And I've used this analogy over and over.
Like Fleener.
Oh, my God, yeah, Fleener. Then there's a guy, and I hope I get his name right, Oliver, that they signed, because I remember they signed New York. When they signed the contract, I was like, he got what? And they so overpaid for this guy as a defensive lineman for the Giants. I was just couldn't believe that they paid that much money to him. I just don't want to get caught in one of those spots. I don't want to get caught in one of those spots where you bring in a guy and you get a fleener. You're paying top five money, but you're getting top. He's not bad. He's just not worth that much money.
Exactly.
So how about
say that he's bad. Let me on Fleener. I'm going to make a case for Fleener. I think that Fleener would be good in a certain kind of offense. In our offense, he's not good.
But simply because what is our offense? Would be great for him.
No, because look at the kind of offense that we have. Our kind of offense, you think back to when Jimmy Graham was really contributing to this team. It was over the shoulder,
yeah, the
18
seam route.
Yards.
The seam route.
Exactly. That's not Fleener.
No,
Fleener is
not a tough guy.
Down and out. Okay. So Fleener is the kind of guy who's going to set up as a tight end, go down, and he's going to hook to the outside, or he's going to make a severe cut to the outside. He's not playing over the middle. And you see the couple of times that he has, he's dropped the ball or he's gotten tattooed, and he gets up shaking his head like, man, I'm going to have a concussion.
Right.
You know? So he's not that kind of guy. So in this particular, and I think they were hoping that Josh Hill was going to be able to pick up that slack, because a couple of times we saw him play that way. So I'm just saying to you that I believe that the way that the NFL is set up, I believe that we have to have a big base of rookies. And I should say rookies, first and second year players who have 4-year contracts and they really contribute in their second and third year. So I'm hopeful that, as we've talked about, next year and the following year are our 2 years. Next year we'll have people like Mike Thomas in his second year, Von Bell in his second year. So these young men, Rankins in his second year, these young men will be contributing. Then we'll pick up another batch, another class. And if we can get another 4 or 5 kids to come in, then suddenly we have 7, 8, 9 of these kids with young players up and coming with workable contracts. Well, now you've got something going on. You know, because let's face facts. Breeze is still going to eat up a chunk of change.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. And you're going to have other people. You're going to have to pay fairly. And I'm willing to pay him because of what he's put out this year. So that's another guy who's going to take a chunk of change. You know, and then you have some other players that are going to be, you know, looking to renew their contracts in their last year of their contract. So I'm just saying, I think we have to be very careful to not go into the free agent market and sign a bunch of guys who might look good on a piece of paper, but then you get them on the field and they just don't contribute.
You know,
what
I'd like to see is use a lot of that money to get a bunch of guys like Robertson, you know, like Stupar. I'm not saying linebackers, but give me some guards that are like guys that are on that level. Guys that, how do we get these guys for $2 million, for $3 million, for, you know, good role players that, like, because it just seems like, and I know why. I mean, all these years of being in tough cap situations, we ended up having to settle for all these undrafted free agents who have these
huge
holes in their game.
Yeah, I remember 2 years ago, we had 5 defensive linemen.
And everybody's like, oh, my God, we just struck gold with all these guys. And at the end of the day,
One guy stuck, Davison. That's it.
And he,
right?
Wait,
he's the only one, right?
Davison who?
The defensive lineman.
Yeah, no, all of them are gone now. The only one there was
one. Oh, no,
he
was drafted. Davison was
The only guy.
Ulis.
There was one guy, and I can't remember his name. He started, and he didn't even make the team. He started in his rookie year. And I can picture his face, and his name's not coming to me. And then he didn't even make it. I don't think he made it through training camp this year.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't make it onto the active roster.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The point is that we had all these guys make the team, and of course, because some of the successes with your Lance Moores and your Pierre Thomases, people think when an undrafted guy makes a team, well, that he must be the diamond in the rough. No, what it is, we had no money, so we had no choice.
Have a diamond.
Oh, I'm not saying you won't. I'm not saying you won't. Yeah, Willie Snead's another one. You're gonna have diamonds rough, but when you get 5 guys at one position,
yeah, it's not gonna happen.
And you thinking that, oh well, it's because all these diamond and rough.
We had no money.
And that's just.
Hey, buddy, when you come over here for a cup of gumbo and
right. That was the situation there. So I tell you what, I got some more news that I want to put out there. We're gonna hit a break real quick.
All right, sir.
And then we got to talk about a game preview, some NFC South, and get to the pick 'em.
All right.
Now for a moment in the life of Cam Newton.
Yeah, this is nice. Leopard skin and plaid. Look at all these nice hats. Man, this is dope.
Welcome to Little Miss Clothing.
Yeah, let me get this in a men's triple X.
I'm sorry, sir. Our clothing is sized for teenage girls.
This has been a moment in the life of Cam Newton.
From the creators of FarmersOnly.com, BlackPeopleMeet.com, and ChristianMingle.com comes the newest specialized dating site.
Are you tired of being lonely? Is being alone getting you down? Does your job prohibit you from meeting the right people? Well, look no further, Father, because now there's ClergyCongregate.com.
Because we know that dating can be uncomfortable when you haven't done it for a while. Right, Father O'Nally?
Couldn't you give me a hand here getting something to eat? And like something simple, like a chip butty or maybe a Jimmy Dodger and then a pint of, I don't know, you know, McCune's Lager or Caledonian 80.
So grab a blanket and a bottle of wine that you have at the rectory because you won't be lonely anymore.
You won't be lonely at clergycongregate.com.
All right, we got some injury news to talk about. We have a developing situation.
Sheriff Cooter Wilmot of the Boudreaux Parish Feed Store, Gun Shop, Used Car, Beer Bait, Barbecue, Barber Shop, Laundry Mat Department. Now time for the New Orleans Saints Injury Report.
Pissed out! You got knocked the f*** out, man!
All right, Teron Armstead to the injured reserve. This is a problem. This guy, we just signed to a huge contract, deserved every penny, talented guy, he's a cornerstone of the team. But it is starting to become apparent that he has some injury concerns. I mean, he hasn't been able to stay healthy. This is I don't have the statistics in front of me, so I'm throwing this out there. I'm pretty sure he finished last year on injured reserve. If not, he was injured a lot last year. In addition to that, Delvin Bro and Stephon Anthony. You know, Anthony finally gets out on the field. Coach Payton says that he played well. I did find it telling that Peyton, in one of the articles I read, said that Anthony, the way he said it was that he needs to get better at diagnosing some of the simple things. So he's not talking about more complicated things. He pointed out that it's the little things that he just apparently struggles with. Having said that, he said he had a good game last week, and unfortunately he's on the injury report. So let's see how that pans out for the game, but it's something we got to keep an eye on. Delvin Bro, the shoulder, I'm not sure. And maybe the most important, Tomas was talking about this, is that Breeze didn't practice on Wednesday. So this is one of those things where, you know, we noticed the shrugging the shoulder thing, and he's been taking some hits, and now all of a sudden, you know, he's missing some practice time, which has never been the case. Peyton says that he's just putting him on a pitch count. I know he's getting older, but all of a sudden he's on a pitch count late in the season. You know, something that we need to keep an eye on, something that, we'll see as the days go by and game comes up against Arizona here on Sunday and see what develops. I'm confident that Breeze will play. I'm not sure what they would get out of playing anybody. If they feel like Grayson's developed enough, which doesn't seem to be the case, that's the only reason. Other than that, there's nobody else on the roster that the Saints would say, hey, let's give Breeze a break and take a look at that kid. But in this situation, I'd be interested in seeing what Grayson has. But I wouldn't hold my breath waiting for that to happen.
BS and Beer. Big as Beyonce's butt during the Super Bowl halftime show.
All right, so here at the SEC Sports Pub,
woo-hoo!
Thursday night. Ball game's on, and, you know, this is kind of getting a little sad because we only have three of them left. Matter of fact, there might only be two. I didn't look at the schedule, but, you know, at the end of the season, they're not going to have a Thursday night game before the playoffs. So, Yes, I'm tearing up a little bit. Football season, that 4 or 5 day a week football season, it's over. College is already. I know we got the bowl season coming up, but right now, no games all day long in college on Saturday.
Man, coming up though.
So yeah, and I tell you what, bowl season is pretty fun. I mean, all good games and all of them. Just like turn the TV on, twist the channel.
And both the LSU team and the Kentucky team are playing in Florida. So there you go.
Oh yeah, well you know Kentucky's finally made a bowl game after a while.
Slayer. So yeah, Georgia Tech.
I mean, this names. Oh Yellow my Jackets. God, dude, who's? I mean, they just coming up.
Some of those other ones. I was like, what bowl is this?
Oh,
there's
if you
the
want
Bahama Bowl.
The Bahama. Well, and if you want
to go to that one.
If you want to tie another thing into Kentucky, LSU is playing Louisville.
Well, that's true. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
So there you go. Another
the Citrus Bowl.
All right. So let's get to a little game preview. Saints are going to head over to the hot country in the desert and play Arizona. Arizona has
in
not
the dome
been
in Arizona. Okay.
Well, yeah, that's true. They probably got the dome closed and they're going to kick on the air conditioner. But, I mean, no. What it's been like 25 degrees here. Yeah. So I imagine Arizona, it's got to be 90. No, I mean,
but it's a dry kind of heat.
Yeah, it's a dry
heat. You can bake cookies, you know?
Okay, so Arizona, I mean, early in the season, I thought that when we talked about, well, we could be a better team, but because our schedule's so tough, they have not looked that tough. They're one of the teams
here's what I'm going to tell you. I think that Carson Palmer has become the Peyton Manning of this season.
Yeah.
I think he's done.
He's just hobbling around out there.
Yeah, well, he has no mobility at all.
Right,
no. So Palmer right now is he's at 3,376 yards, 20 TDs, and 13 interceptions. Compared to Breeze, Breeze has 4,170 yards, 30 TDs, so 10 more TDs, 14 interceptions, almost the same number of interceptions.
You know, 2 weeks ago he had 30 TDs, man.
Yeah, he's not going very good.
Not going the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. All right, and so then now
We got Johnson for their running back. We got Ingram. I don't know if Ingram's going to be up to snuff, but I sure would like to see Lasko.
I think this is a game, maybe I'm just hoping, but I think this is the game where you will start seeing some of these younger players.
I hope so.
I don't think, listen, and I know on Monday was it, you were talking about seeing a bunch of different guys.
Yep,
I don't think it's going to be wholesale changes, but I think guys that they feel have a future –
I'd like to see Turner play a series. I'd like to see Allen play a series on offensive line.
I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Lasko, I'd like to see him
Lasko
play a
I'd like to see play.
You know, and maybe have Lampman or some of these other kids that are playing special teams, but they have a different position. Maybe have them play a little bit. You know, so we'll see. Right now, according to the I meant to use this all the time, and I keep forgetting about it. According to the SportsCenter matchup predictor.
Oh, I like it. I like it. It sounds very official.
Arizona is 63.7% predicted to win. And our New Orleans Saints, 36%.
Hmm.
All right. So, there you go. 2-1.
See, here's the point. We made a joke, and I lost $5
when I saw it. I know.
Yeah,
Charlie.
A guy I know that lives out here, he's a big Buccaneer fan, and he always tags me on Facebook with his little thing, and it says, it showed, he took a picture of the TV that showed all the predictions. They have the little icons, you know, and it was Tampa Bay, Tampa Bay, Tampa Bay, Tampa Bay, Tampa Bay. And I just said, that's the game we're going to win. The one that you're not supposed to remember Pittsburgh last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how in the world they were playing so well. They scored more points. Our defense was terrible. We go out to Pittsburgh, and we beat the brakes off of them. So, and now all of a sudden, you know, I'm like, watch, this will be a game that we're like, yeah, we really shouldn't win this game, and we will. So, but no, we couldn't.
Yeah.
All right, so
you got the 49ers playing the Falcons at the Falcants.
Mm-hmm.
Can't imagine that's going to go anyway, but boy, we don't want it. And here's the other game, though. We have the Buccaneers playing the Cowboys.
Uh-oh.
And since the Cowboys just got their little fannies beat by the Giants.
Right. For the second time.
Yeah.
The two losses are both to the Johnsons.
I have a feeling that Tampa Bay, they're playing in Dallas. And as good as Tampa Bay's been playing, I think this might be the perfect moment for the Cowboys to come back. And then, of course, the Monday night game. By the way, that's the Sunday night game. Buccaneers
okay.
Cowboys. And then and our game is a late game as well. Is it?
Oh, right. Oh yeah, Arizona, yeah. We're going out to Arizona. That's usually going to be a late game.
And then the Monday night game is the Panthers and the Redskins.
Right. Now, here's the thing. Heath came early, and we were watching the game on Sunday. And, you know, of course, we pull them against the Panthers, but then we start realizing, man, the last thing we want is the Panthers to take a nosedive and then start
No, we want them to keep winning so we get a better draft pick.
Exactly. Yeah. We don't want the Panthers getting, you know, every year there could be anywhere from three to, you know, 10 maybe blue chip guys that are head and shoulders better than the rest. You don't want them getting one of those guys. Can you imagine having to deal with Cam Newton and Leonard Fournette in the same backfield? I mean, that would be a tough – they'd run that read option, and it would be a tough team to defend. So we don't want that happening. We don't want that happening. So there's a part of me, as much as I hate them, you know, I wanted to see them embarrass themselves but find a way to win at the end.
Now, do you think Fournette will get picked in the top 10?
No, you know what? Now we're going to leave that for the offseason.
Oh, okay. We'll wait till Heath over here, the real LSU fan.
He's a huge LSU fan. And we're going to talk about Fournette because I have some questions about where he might go in the draft too. So, which might surprise some people.
Yeah.
But anyway, any other thoughts we got? We got Carolina, we got Tampa Bay.
Got them all.
Okay. All
we're
right.
Done with that.
Time for the pick 'em, right?
Time for the pick 'em.
All right. So here's our pick segment. I decided to start with the two greatest picks in Saints history.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. Near side to the 40. And John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line.
All right, time for the pick 'em segment. Now, okay, listen. I want you guys to know that a little bit through the season, I started feeling bad. I was ready to make my move.
Yeah.
But then I realized that, you know, your dignity and self-esteem is not worth. And the fact that, you know, the 100, I didn't want there to be all kind of confusion and people getting upset because I won. And I mean, think how many people would have probably threw a fit that I wouldn't be able to get that $100 for myself, even though I want it.
I
so think, just avoid the conflict altogether.
He's not thinking that way, but go ahead.
And kind of let go. You know, it's kind of like in those Rambo movies where the guy comes up behind you and stabs him, and the guy's struggling. He's like, just let go. Let go.
Just let it happen.
Let it happen. That's what I did. I did that.
Right.
But what I did was,
yeah,
I kind of lived vicariously through Heath. Mm-hmm. So I kind of gave him my mojo.
Oh, I see how that
that's
works.
That's how that works, if you weren't aware of that. So let's see. So let's take a look at the top 10 for this week. Number one, Cook's Arrow. Heath and Dave and Tomas, second place. Lil Dice in third. VC Saint. A lot of big scores, 10s and 11s and 12s.
Yep.
Hooters 47, Orion, Scary Cats, Sacked for Loss, Louisianist, and the Gulf Coast Bombers. I'm also throwing there Aries 39 because, although in 11th place, tied for the top 10 for the week. Let's see. Now we can get to the total points, and let's see who's look who's regained top billing with 104 points. Tied.
Yep.
Little top Dice two. 504.
With Red Jim.
Our boy. He's on the top of the leaderboard with Red Jim.
Yep.
Of Saints Report fame.
Yep.
Aries 39 in third with 102.
Tied with DTC All-Star.
Uh-huh. And then number five, Cook's Arrow with 101. Then we got like four guys. Scary Cats. Well, Scary Cats must have been just like hang out because I don't remember that name.
Yeah.
So they just are either figure out how to hack the
Hack the system.
And
don't forget.
That's our code word.
Hacked.
The code word is hacked.
H-A-C-K-E-D.
Hacked.
Hey.
All right. Then
just like the Russians.
Then Year of the Lion. Also, then Javelin. Saint Cool 13. And 10th place is Sacked for Loss.
There you go.
All right. So that rounds out the top 10. Now, we still have the playoffs, so we still have.
Hold on now. Heath is at number 15.
Oh, we didn't mention that. That's what I was saying. See,
Heath is number 15.
I kind of taught Heath the technique.
Tomas is at 26.
26. Okay, let's get the show going. No, that's fine. We good. I'm gonna tell you guys how we, how I taught Heath, the technique of finding that nice sweet spot right there to make you move.
Because we both scored a lot of points this week.
Did you?
Yeah.
We both
got good weeks this week.
I didn't. I mean, this is just terrible, man. I don't even know what's going on with me. Wait, there's no way. How do I not put in? I got a zero.
What did you do?
I mean, did I not? I had to put in my picks.
Did you not save the picks? You don't have to press save.
I may not have saved it because I know I did it. We were sitting there in the show.
I know.
So, okay. So, I'm going to have to go back.
Well, it drops the lowest one.
And drop. Oh, yeah, but I already had like a two.
Well, now you get
to some. Edit it and give myself. I mean, look, let's just keep it real. I probably would have had, what, 10, 11, something like that?
Yeah, sure, right.
No. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. All right. I did that just as a concession to all my fellow Saints friends and friends.
Man. You're a good man.
I do this for you guys because I care.
Yeah, you're a good man.
So, all right. So let's get to the picks. Yeah. All right, Tomas. Big old point spread. Los Angeles at Seattle, 13.5 points.
Man, that you talk about a tough game to pick right out the gate here. It's those points, though, my brother. 13.5 points. Los Angeles fired Jeff Fisher.
Yeah, they've got I thought I read that he just signed a new contract.
At the beginning, they kept it quiet. He signed an extension in the preseason.
Oh.
And they hadn't announced it. And now they announced it, and like 3 days later, oh, by the way, you had an extension, but we fired him.
I mean, golly.
Look, it makes perfect sense.
Does it?
Yeah. Because here you draft the number one guy. And you sit us behind down for 10 weeks. Okay. You get a new stadium built. You need to bring in the people. You need to put some behinds in those chairs. He didn't do it. And the game plan that he had, and you know, Fisher's a good defensive guy, but their offense, Gurley, what happened to Gurley?
Oh, my God.
This guy last year was
mad
because
he's on your fantasy team.
No, I don't have him.
Oh, you got rid of him?
Yeah.
I know you had him last year.
No.
All right, well, sounded good.
In any case, I mean,
in my head.
But now we have them playing Seattle. Seattle, you know, it's kind of rough. But even at 13.5 points, I'm going to take Seattle and give up the 13. I'm going to be laying me 13.5.
Oh, man, we haven't heard from our boy in a while. Yeah, we're going to have to hear from him. Let's see. Now we got Miami at New York.
Well,
by the
pick?
Way, Seattle.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just too many points. I have no confidence that Los Angeles, especially with that quarterback in there, is going to be able to score any points. So let's go Miami at New York. New York is getting 2.5. And now I heard that Miami's quarterback didn't blow his knee out.
Severely
but
sprained.
I'm sure he's not going to be playing.
More
so. I don't know, man. New York is such up and down. I'm going to go with New York.
I'm going to go with Miami.
You going to Miami? All right. So then we got Cleveland at Buffalo.
Cleveland's going to go 0-16. So,
damn, hey.
Even with 10 points, ain't going to be enough against Buffalo.
He's going to take that shame off of Detroit and Gary's team out there and be the latest team to go 0-16.
There you go.
Because Detroit's the last team.
And they go 0-16?
Yeah. So there you go. And I like to see that shame be removed from my friend's team.
So I'm pulling Buffalo.
All right. So, so I'm going with New York. And we were Cleveland, Buffalo. Sorry.
I digress. Come on. Okay. Gotcha, brother.
So, I'm going to go Buffalo. Golly, 10 points. But it's not like Buffalo's playing that good. I think that maybe Cleveland's ready to go home. So, I'm going to pick Buffalo. So, Green Bay at Chicago. Go ahead, Tomas. 5 points.
As
Chicago.
Much as I think that Chicago is playing so much better, this is a hard one for me because they're playing in Chicago.
After they get there.
And Green Bay has just been up and down, up and down.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go Green Bay and give up the 5 points.
You know, after they get rid of Chicago, loses their quarterback. And
they played a lot better.
They played better without him at some point.
Because he's an idiot.
He's
they're playing better with a guy who was like, you remember Steve Walsh?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a soft arm. That's Barkley from USC.
Right, I remember Barkley.
But he has a good head for football.
Yeah,
so.
Man. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. So I'm taking Green Bay, by the way. I'm messing this all up. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati.
Since it gets three.
Yeah. I'm going to go with – I'm
going
to have to go
with the Rust Buckets.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh.
I'm going to go with Cincinnati just to play the opposite there. I don't even know why I'm picking, actually. It's kind of – anyway, just for dignity.
Grins and giggles.
It's all right. So Tennessee at Kansas City. Tennessee is getting 5 points. They're playing a lot better.
But not enough. At Kansas City, I'm taking Kansas City.
Not enough. I'm taking Kansas City as well. Indianapolis at Minnesota. Boy, I tell you what, it must be frustrating to be a Minnesota fan.
I'm telling you. But they've got the Forbath kicking field goals, and it's only 3 points, so I'm going to go 3.5 points. I'm going to go with Minnesota.
You got Minnesota?
Yep.
Okay, I'll do the same thing. Okay, Detroit at the Giants, 4.5 going to Detroit.
Do you think the Giants are going to have a letdown after beating the Dallas Cowboys? Do you think that Detroit, even with their boy Stafford with a dislocated finger, do you think that they can have it to bring it back? Do you think that No, I'm going with the Giants.
You want the Giants? I'm going with Detroit.
Yeah, there you go.
Pick Detroit. They had a lot of tight games, except when they played the Saints, of course. The medicine that heals all wounds, the New Orleans Saints.
That's right.
Philadelphia at Baltimore, 5.5 to Philadelphia. I'm going to pick Philadelphia. I think they're a young up-and-coming team, but, you know, they kind of hit that wall. They were
going Baltimore.
I don't like
Baltimore's playing, well, but they're playing to be in it, so I'm going Baltimore.
Jacksonville, Houston, Jacksonville getting 5.5.
Man, and, you know, Jacksonville's got a hell of a team. I mean, their quarterback is so good. Their coaching staff is so wonderful. You know, they have nothing to worry about. So we'll all be a gone at the end of the season, so I'm going to go with the, as bad as it is, picking Houston over Jacksonville is a hell of a stretch.
Yeah.
But they're playing in Houston, so I'm going to go with Houston.
You know, I know this is going to sound crazy, and I couldn't for life tell you who they were really playing. I know last week San Francisco played a team. Can't remember who it was, but it was terrible. We were making jokes about how much we want to watch that game. But they have actually played decent football the last 2 weeks. Now they're going to Atlanta, giving up. They're getting 12.5 points.
But Atlanta scored 44 in the last game.
Number 44 might have scored 44. I mean, every time I looked up, Beasley scoring a touchdown.
I got to go Atlanta. Sorry with the 12.5, but I got to go Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm going to do the same thing. Then we got New England at Denver. Denver getting 3 points at home to New England.
You know,
beat up.
I'm going to go Denver.
Okay. No, not three. I'm going to take New England. Golly, but then I realize New England, they're missing some weapons.
That's right.
Hi, yeah, yeah. And Denver's defense still is a beast defense. I'm going New England.
You all right?
Yeah, I missed the little button there, and it went to a different screen. Okay, Oakland at San Diego. San Diego getting 2.5 points. They got banged up in that game on Sunday. I don't remember. I know their running back's hurt. I think that top pick defensive end from Ohio State.
Yep.
It's sad. I can remember everything about him except for his name. You know, where he went to school, when he was picked.
Bosa.
All right. Yeah, Bosa. So I'm going to go with Oakland.
Me too. Going with the Raiders.
All right. Tampa Bay at Dallas. 7.5 point. What?
Yep. Tampa Bay's getting 7.5 at this point.
Golly. Now, you know what? Listen. As much as the Saints and the problems and the struggles, I can see it. Tampa Bay really isn't that good. I mean, they're not bad.
No.
I'm not sitting here just trying to bang on them.
But the Cowboys are going to bounce back.
Yeah, the Cowboys are going to beat the brakes off of them.
Yep.
So you got the Cowboys. You know, it's sad whenever I'm happily picking Dallas. Like, oh, hey, Dallas, hey, they playing so good. all right. Carolina at Washington.
Yep.
It's off the board as of now. So we're going to have to come back and revisit that. But
I'm going with Washington.
I'm picking Washington, too. So, although, I'm going to switch that pick. I'm going with Carolina.
Go ahead. I knew you would.
In a game that I want Carolina to win so that they don't end up with a high draft pick.
But ain't
so, I hope that Cam Newton gets his tie caught in the car door and they can't find the key.
And maybe he'll play with a tie on.
Yeah, and he'll just play with the tie on maybe and embarrass himself somehow. But all in all, boy, that's a tough one for me because I don't like Carolina whatsoever. But we need them to win. As a Saints fan, you need them to win.
All right.
So then the big game of the week, New Orleans at Arizona. New Orleans getting 2.5 points. Now, this same thing is surprising me. 2.5 points, meaning they're not even getting the full three on the road.
And the same
thing at Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
We went to Tampa Bay and they, you know, so, Tomas, you got anything to tell us?
Well, share with us? Arizona's got a really good team. Their coach is an outstanding coach. I mean, he really has that team going in the right direction. Peterson at that cornerback is going to shut down on Cooks. I mean, it's going to be, into that right there. They have a really good defensive line. They have a running back, Brown. You know, he's going to be pounding that ball. And the Saints, of course, are all beat up. I don't even know who's starting quarterback for the Saints.
Jack Allen.
Huh. He's going to be playing quarterback. No, I thought Pete.
The versatile Pete. That's right.
So at the end of the day, I guess I'm going to have to go with my New Orleans Saints and take the 2.5.
Huh.
Pride. You got to play for pride. I picked Fleener to have a big game.
Man, it's just so many injuries. Fleener? Yeah, you don't. I'm looking at this and I just don't know how the injuries are going to affect the Saints because I could easily see the Saints winning this game, but I could just, it's a toss up. So you know what? I'm going to pick my Saints as well. What's the worst thing that happened? I'm going to lose?
All right. Well,
hit save this time.
You know, Arizona, their wide receiver Floyd got arrested. And so that's something to keep in mind. They got a couple of injuries. Their quarterback hasn't looked like the quarterback of old. I think that since he's a stationary quarterback, I think the Saints have a good chance. Fairley has a good chance to rack up at least one more sack. Cam Jordan needs another sack there.
Especially with that quarterback that just stands
back
there.
That's what I'm saying to you. That's what I'm saying to you. So that's what I'm going to go with. And I'm not going to make a mistake you made. I just pressed the save picks button just to make sure that those picks got saved. But there you go. So there are our picks for the week. And hopefully we'll do good. So there you have it. We have the picks. We have a discussion of our NFC South.
Mm-hmm. Nothing game much. Game preview.
Game preview. I mean,
we're just hitting on all cylinders.
Yeah.
So, do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah, my final thoughts are. Why'd you call on me first? ask Heath first. No, my final thoughts are as we talked about before. I think let's play with a little dignity. Let's go out there and play. But I would like to see some of these young kids get an opportunity for at least one series. To see what they can do out there. Give them some experience in a real game. That would be my final thoughts, you know, and hopefully that we'll close out the season. I did post that I don't think we'll do better than 6-10, you know, and as I said to you earlier or in the previous show, I can't remember now, I'm confused now. If we just beat Atlanta, I'll be happy.
Right.
So, you know, but I see a 6-10. We might squeeze out 7-9.
It'd be fun, not funny, but if we did, it'd just be like ironic. And
however, I'm going to say what I've said before. Based on the first show that we did earlier this week, I told you that I thought that the defense is on a positive swing and getting better.
Mm-hmm.
So even if we make 6-10 or 7-9, even if we're 7-9 again, I think we're in a better 7-9 than we've been the last 2 years.
I agree. And, you know, we said that in the offseason.
Yeah.
And here we are, and I know we still have 3 games to go, but if we ended up 6 or 7 games, it's just I just don't want to see us play so sloppy like we did.
That's why I said we got to play for dignity.
But, maybe I should look at it a different way. Did we really play horrible, or is it that we're not used to seeing good defense and bad offense? So we're not used to –
No, we played that horrible.
Yeah, so, you know, but, hey, if the defense, as banged up as we are, continues to play as well as they have, you expect to get that offensive – look, I'm just being positive. I got a little sunshine pumping right now. But you see that –
sunshine and lollipops.
You see that offensive line tighten up, and then all of a sudden we start –
Do you know who sang that song?
I do not.
Oh.
And I don't really care either, man, because that did not sound like a song that I want to listen to. So if we –
It was very famous. It was the number one hit. But go ahead.
Yeah.
Before you were born.
Anything else you want to say? All right. For Heath Elson-Sign and – Tomas, I'm just going to cut it now. Save it while we can. I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the
Don't
BS
forget about that hotline. Hold on. Hotline.
All right. Hotline. 504.
That's it.
383.
That's right.
3369.
There you go.
All right. Hey, it's been a good one. This is Dave Romero, and we'll see you next week.
Later.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers. And none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.